Eternal Father, we thank Thee that we have been able to pray to Thee and sing our prayers to Thee. Open our eyes. Touch them with the cleansing salve. Focus them by the presence of Thy Spirit on Thy holy word. And teach us the lessons we need to learn to glorify Thee. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I have listened to sermons that have taken a text which on analysis proved to be a pretext. It was announced and the preacher took off from there and never touched the text again. The title today is a pretext from its source. I'm not going to talk about I'm okay, you're okay as you're thinking about it. But it's a jumping off point for a topic that I think is very vital. Because of course you and I don't believe that I'm okay and you're okay. Because we're not. None of us is okay. And if you think you are, I could present you 50 texts in the Bible that give you God's point of view that we are not okay. We are not, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we do, saying, I'm okay, you're okay, is fooling ourselves. Living in a fool's paradise of self-chosen deception. We put blinkers on our eyes to keep us from looking to the right hand or to the left. We put smoke lenses before them that cut out most of the light, and we walk like Welsh pit ponies in the darkness. I am not okay, and you're not okay. That's sufficiently negative to begin this meditation this Sabbath morning? Our first text is Job 14, verse 14. Job 14, verse 14. We may as well begin from reality. We may as well begin from truth. We may as well look where the light is shining and Thy word is light. If a man die, shall he live again? He's surrounded with death. Why? The wages of sin is death. Death is the guarantee that sin is in existence. We see it all around us. Cruel, cold, treacherous, unfeeling, inexorable. Death proves the existence of sin. And the Lord asks, can any man take a clean thing out of an unclean? The rhetorical question, of course, deserves an answer. No, you can't. You can't take any clean thing out of an unclean. Writing to the Romans, let's find his epistle. In chapter 3, Paul underlines this thought. Romans chapter 3. He asks a question in verse 9. What then, are we better than they? The we being the Hebrews and the they being the Gentiles. And both the Hebrews and the Gentiles were saying, I'm okay, you're okay. Or at least I'm okay, whatever you are. But Paul asks the question, are we any better than they? No, in no way. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. None that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. You know, some of the teachers one has had in life make an impression that we take with us across the decades. And I remember hearing Dr. Albright and Johns Hopkins say in class one time about a certain book. He says, I have relegated that to the curiosa in my library. The curiosa. I was listening this morning to a physician say practically the same thing. Years ago, he said, there were certain things that I had nailed down. Now I realize that they're not so. When I think of this, I think of a question I was asked in 1929. Why the teacher asked it in 1929, I still cannot fathom, but he did. I was in school, and I was asked to define the word atom. Now, the word atom comes from two Greek particles. The a in front of it is a privative. It's a negative. It means not. Symmetrical, asymmetrical, not symmetrical. A in front of many, many words, prefix, means not, negatives it. The tome part of it means to cut. You find it in many combinations in surgery and other forms of words in English. A tome means uncuttable. In other words, it cannot be reduced. 1929. Faithfully, I said, an atom is the smallest indivisible particle of matter. So much did my teacher drill that into my brain that I still remember the absurd statement. Now, in 1905, it had been proved that the atom could be split. Very few people believed it. It took the neighborhood of Hiroshima, Nagasaki, to demonstrate irrefutably that it could be tomed and it was no longer a tome. There are many pieces of knowledge that we think we have that we relegate to the curiosa. You know, there's only one reliable source of knowledge, and that's the Bible. There is nothing in the Bible that has ever been relegated to the curiosa. Nothing. Who has understanding? There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that hath understanding. There is none that seeketh after God. They've all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. Their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of snakes is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Quite a list. All these are quotations from the Old Testament. And this catena of negative statements is irrefutable. There is none righteous. And we can go around saying, I'm okay, you're okay, and all we're doing is fooling ourselves and misstating the facts. Turn a few pages in the book of Romans to chapter 11. Verse 32. Romans 11, verse 32. God hath included them in unbelief. How many? I left out a word. All. God has concluded them all, the whole world, in unbelief. Why? That he might have mercy on all. See, let's not fool ourselves. There's none righteous, no, not one. God has included all in unbelief. Because he wishes to embrace all in mercy. Let's find John chapter 3. John chapter 3, the most well-known, loved passage in this book. John 3, verse 17. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Now why not? What does the next verse say? John 3 verse 18. Because it is condemned already. Jesus didn't need to condemn the world was condemned already. And as we accept the scriptures, this stark, and when we think about it, terrifying truth, clutches with icy fingers into the semi-consciousness of our hearts and minds, we're all lost apart from Christ. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world was condemned already. But why did he come? That out of this group of condemned already ones, whosoever will might believe in him and move from death into life. The Bible does not blink. Shut its eyes to. Move aside from the stark realities of life and death. And it is good for Christians, even if they have been on the way 70 years, to examine their hearts and see whether they are in the faith or not. And I am inviting you this morning, consciously, quietly, deliberately, to go through this exercise of self-examination. Not from any self-delusive peace story. Ezekiel 13 verse 10 and verse 16. Ezekiel 13 verse 10 and 16. Because they have seduced my people. Now who has seduced them? Verse 9, the prophets, the spokesman for God. They have seduced my people, saying, peace. There was no peace. Verse 16, the prophets of Israel prophesy concerning Jerusalem, and which see visions of peace for her. There's no peace, saith the Lord. And what do they do? Verse 17, likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people which prophesy out of their own heart. This is their own heart. And prophesy against them and say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillows to all elbows, make kerchiefs for the head to hunt souls. Will he hunt the souls of my people? Will he save the souls alive? Come unto you. Suffice it for this exposition. I'm not going into the details. What he is saying here, they make comforting pillows. They didn't sit in chairs in those days. They lay down on the ground or on a divan. Put their elbows, recline their head. Picture we've got of John leaning on the bosom of Christ in the Last Supper. Easements for their elbows, making cushions, pillows, making it easy, saying peace, and there's no peace. Jeremiah 6 verse 14. There was a time of international crisis. 6:14. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace. And there was no peace. So many times I ask myself, am I saying peace, peace, when there is no peace? Slightly healing disturbed souls, for whom the Spirit of God has brought conviction of sin into their hearts. We can say, it's all right. I'm okay, you're okay. We don't point them to the fountain of sin and for uncleanness, to the furnace that purges out the dross. Very easy, very easy. Say, peace, peace. Everything is fine. Everything is wonderful. We're all lovely. There's a tremendous amount of good in all of us. The Lord is merciful. Keep on doing what you're doing. And we fool ourselves. In the end, they're off for the ways of death. Make no mistake, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. When God saw the world condemned by their own decision, He included them all in unbelief that He might have mercy on all. And He sent Jesus not to condemn the world because it was condemned, but that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's the thrust of my message this morning. John chapter 3, verse 3. Except a man be born anathen, from above, again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Can you see it? Can you see the kingdom of God? Can you? You know what the kingdom of God is? Today we've already prayed, Thy kingdom come. What is the kingdom of God? It is the regnancy of Christ in your will. The kingdom of God is within you. And it has a king. And it has a subject. And the King is King Jesus. And if you are in the kingdom of God, you are His subject. He is your liege lord, sovereign, supreme. Is He? My friends, is He? Today is His Sabbath. Is He mastering you how you spend it? We say, my times are in Thy hands, and we spend it our own ways. We take it into our own. Is He King? Have you seen the vision of His rulership? He calls the action, or the reaction. He calls the program in your life. If He is King, His voice must not be gainsaid. His voice speaks from His word, picked up and reinforced and applied by the Holy Spirit. Have you received enough of the seed divine in the new birth that you can see that? Well, that's not enough. Jesus continues in verse 6 of John 3, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter. Sad and sad to say, there will be many who have seen afar off, but who will never enter. because they have not been born of water and of the Spirit. To my left is a baptistry. Occasionally it's filled with water. And in a conscious, deliberate, self-surrendered act of faith, the born-again Christian goes down into the water. When Jesus is master in his life, Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter. Cannot is categorical. You either believe Jesus or you don't believe Jesus. And in this permissive age, to make a categorical imperative is to rouse debate, is to search for exception. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We do not debate God. We accept. Or do we? The option is ours. The gift is free will. But if we would enter the kingdom, the route is marked out. Simple, clear cut, costing nothing but the surrender of the will. And I want to invite those of you who are not committed to the Lord Jesus Christ to commit yourselves to him today. Those of us who have, in the days gone by, felt in the mystery of divine providence, the transforming alchemy of divine grace in our wills and systems, and have allowed the change to take place, today should rededicate ourselves. Say, Lord Jesus, here I am. In thy mercy, in thy providence, thou hast found me by thy Spirit and by thy word. Through the collocation of circumstances, I have been brought into that place where I have studied. And I'm grateful. And through the years I have tried to walk, I have taken the step, sometimes falteringly, sometimes strayingly. Thank you for forgiveness in Jesus Christ. I accept the promise. I accept the blood. I accept the power of grace for today and tomorrow. This committal must be done every day. Every day. First, this morning, arm in arm, Molly and I committed our lives to our Savior for today. Lord, we do not know what the days hold forth or the minutes. We do not know what the contacts are, good, bad, rough, disturbing, pleasant. But thine eye sees the end from the beginning. Guide me by thine eye. We place ourselves where he can go. And he takes us trembling, fumbling, groping hand in his, and guides us through the mists and the mysteries of life to where they gather on the hills of God. We live in solemn times, my friends, in solemn times. And I've thought of this morning for hours, and I've prayed, Lord, give me some words to touch hearts. What words can I use? The truth is transcending. The alternatives are devastating, eternally devastating. God, take these words and touch these hearts. Mine. May no soul here or listening across the airwaves finish this hour without saying, Lord Jesus, I lay my life on the altar. I lay it down. No strings attached, no questions asked. Here I am. Take me. Long ago I did that. Every day I do it again. I fail, I stumble, but I know my God. I know His love. I know the sweetness of forgiveness. I know the rainbow that shines through tears, gleaming and glinting with the glory of God. And I invite you this morning, my friends, please, believe in Jesus' name. Give your heart to Him. Say to Him, Master me, King of my life. And if you have not been baptized, come and see me. Or any one of us on the staff. Say, I want to think this thing through. Will you help me? Will you pray with me? Will you direct me? Will you study with me? Will you do that? Will you do that? Now, quietly, where you are, in gentle, joyous, grateful surrender to Jesus, who loves with an everlasting love, who died without stint, whoever lives to intercede, whose blood atones, who says to us with arms outstretched, what more could I have done to you that I have not done to you? And when he saw the indifference, he searched his mind and he searched eternity for another way to reach an indifferent heart. And this morning he says the same. What could I have done? Tell me, what can I do for you? I'm seeking to be his spokesman. Look beyond me to him. Look beyond my words to his word, his love, his graciousness. Let your heart respond. Take me, all of me. Hold me. I give up the cherished sins. I give up the materialism. I give up the earthly ambition. You redirect them. You take my energy and sublimate it. You take my will and control it. Lord Jesus, be King in my life. Let us pray. Eternal Father, we give ourselves to Thee this hour, grateful that although we are all sinners, Jesus' love cleanses. When we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive. We claim these promises, and we pray that Thou wilt hold us by Thy side this hour and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2003, American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. For additional cassettes or CDs by the speaker or for a free catalog of other American Cassette Ministry cassettes, please contact us as follows. To order toll-free in the United States and Canada, dial 800-233-4450. For international calls, dial 717-652-7000. For fax orders, dial 717-652-9050. Our internet email address is info@americancassette.org. Other cassettes and CDs may also be ordered from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. Our entire catalog is online, and we accept MasterCard, Visa, and Discover credit cards. Or you may simply write to American Cassette Ministries, Post Office Box 922, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania 17108, in the United States of America. Maintaining the integrity of the Three Angels' messages for 28 years, American Cassette Ministries requests your continued prayers and financial support as we strive to provide you with the finest, most powerful spiritual messages available. Our one purpose in ministry, to prepare you and your loved ones to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.